take your Bible tonight, and if you would, let's start by turning to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. And if you will, I'm going to have you stand with me. We're going to read a handful of verses together, 1 Timothy chapter 5. And if you're still looking for it, you're going to stumble onto it here in a moment. Let me remind you, last week I taught part 1 of tonight's lesson. Tonight is part 2 of a lesson called Your Relationships in regard to social networking or media. And we're going to talk more about that tonight. We're going to start out reading 1 Timothy chapter 5, and I want to start at verse number 9. I'll read out loud, and you can just follow along silently. The Bible says this: "Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she hath lodged strangers, if she hath washed the saints' feet, if she hath relieved the afflicted, if she hath diligently followed after good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith." And the verse I'm really interested in is verse 13. "Withal, they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers, also in busybodies, speaking things which they ought not." Now, let's pray. Father, bless us. Help us as we teach tonight. Lord, make the teaching be thorough but quick. We have a lot of territory to cover. Spirit of God, take the lesson and make us better because of it. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. Here in the scripture, I used this scripture last week to get us started on the lesson because I told you God is talking to widows here. And so widows, I would say, take extra care to listen to those words. But you know, when God is talking to widows here and some of the things that he says, it's good for all of us. There's some very pointed things being said here. And in verse 13, he talks about widows being idle. In other words, having too much time on their hands, wandering about from house to house. That's someone that's sticking their nose into this house and then getting their nose involved in the ongoings of what's going on in this house. And says, and they're not only idle, but they're tattlers. And so now it's talking about telling on things, maybe sharing things about somebody that's other people. It's not their business. You know, when you tattle, you're saying something about someone, you're telling on them. And then it goes on and it says also busybodies, just involved in things that they don't need to be involved in. And it says speaking things which they ought not. Well, you know, when I was preparing for this lesson about our involvement with the internet and the communication that we have on the internet, it didn't seem like this was a verse that had anything to do with the internet relationships. But the truth of the matter is, it almost describes the negative side of it perfectly. You could almost say, be careful, those of you that are on Facebook. Don't be idle. Don't be wandering about sticking your nose in other people's business from house to house. And don't be a tattler or a busybody speaking things which you ought not. If I may, remember I said this last week, and we're going to do a very quick review, and then we'll get into the new information. The internet in itself is not bad. I told you, it's like a gun. It depends on in whose hands you find that gun. A gun in good hands can do good. A gun in bad hands can do bad. The internet in good hands can do good. The internet in bad hands can do bad. The internet itself does not destroy people. People destroy people. The internet does not have a mind of its own, although it's working at developing one. At least that's what Siri told me. All the social networking, all the sites that help you to communicate with people, I think they can be wonderful. I mean, boy, if you FaceTime And that can be a great thing. I get to speak with my grandchildren. I have some that live up near Washington, D.C., others that live in Montana. Boy, I get to FaceTime with them. I get to talk with them that way. I have missionary friends that I can communicate with that way. You can communicate with people around the world. People have been using the telephone for years, and now we've just got a way that it's not only audio, but it is video. You can actually see what's going on. All of it can be wonderful, but I have to tell you, as wonderful as something can be, it can also go the opposite direction, and it can become very negative. It can be very, very bad. And it's like anything else in life. I do not think God ever intended for us to get involved in anything without following scriptural guidelines on how to handle ourselves. Now, I apologize to a few of you. There are people in here, you're old enough. When someone talks about Facebook, you really have no idea what that might be about. It's not something you're involved in. It's not something that you're doing. But to everybody in here, the internet is here to stay. Social networking, social media, it's all here to stay. It's not going anywhere. It'll probably take us all the way to the tribulation period and everything that goes along with it. So I doubt that we're going to go backwards in regard to all of this. But so that means we do need to learn how to live with it and live properly with it and how to handle it right. And I would say this, it's like anything else. Look, if you have a gun and you can't control yourself, you better get rid of the gun. And if you have internet, if you're on Facebook or, all those, Instagram and Twitter, if you can't control yourself, then you probably shouldn't have it. It just doesn't make sense to self-destruct. But I made 8 observations last week, and I'm going to make a good handful more tonight. But I want to remind you, here's what I said last week. And if you did not get to hear last week's sermon, I really wish you would either order it. If you ever want to order one, you go to the usher station. There's a book out there where you can order. And or you can go to the Twin Rivers Baptist Church website and you can listen to it online. We make them available. Here's what I said last week. Number one, you should seek to glorify God through your internet involvement. And we're talking about your relationships. We're talking about Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and all that. You should seek to glorify God with it. Folks, there's nothing in our lives that is left out of God's desire to see it glorify Him. Everything we do is supposed to glorify God. And I told you that, and we read 1 Corinthians 10:31. Then secondly, I said number two, you should be filled with the Spirit of God if you're going to participate on the internet in the social networking and the different relationship there. That, according to Romans 8:5, and so you all know, that would take care of most of the problems. But what happens is people get in the flesh when they're communicating, and therefore it deteriorates. It comes negative, bad, and in some cases sinful. You know what? The same thing is true without social networking. If when I talk to Brother Earl, if we communicate and we're filled with the Spirit of God, we're going to do pretty good. But Earl, if one of us is not, our relationship could go down the tubes. Our flesh would get the best of us. So, and you might say, you just always talk about being filled with the Spirit of God. I know it just happens to be the solution to most of the Christians' problems. That's why I keep harping on that thing. And so, okay. Then I said number three, nothing that you read or post in your social media communications should be unscriptural. Shouldn't be unscriptural. Because you let the Bible be your guide. And you find that out in Psalm 19:14. Where the Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Nothing unscriptural. And you know, folks, there are people in here right now on your Facebook account. There are things that should not be there because they're not pleasing scripturally to God. You say, what do? Well, you clean it up and don't leave it there. You say that's part of my history. I'd get rid of it anyway. When God forgave you, He said, I'll erase your history. What was He trying to do? Give you a clean slate. Might be a good idea that you let Him keep it clean. Let's go on. Number four, your social media exchanges should be building people up, not tearing people down. And that according to James 3:10. Can I tell you something? It is so easy to tear people down out of their presence. You coward. There is a cowardly element in this society anyway. They'll talk behind your back, but not to your face. And the social media has really helped that to develop. Hit and run and hide. Let me go on. Number five, your social media relationships should not be filled with your griping and complaining, according to Philippians 2:14. And from my understanding, if you want to vent and complain about all sorts of things, you think you have an ear. And you probably do, because if you've got a rotting tongue, you'll probably find a rotting ear that will listen to your griping and complaining. But folks, you really have a complaint? Can I tell you what to do with it? Take it to the Lord, because He's the one that can fix it. All your cronies out there on the internet, you really think they're going to fix your problem? Matter of fact, you're making your problem worse. You're making it worse. So if you're a griper, you're a complainer, you're a negative talker, and you just use that to do your venting, really it's unscriptural for you to be behaving like that. Let's go on. Number six, your social media relationships are not a place for you to brag on yourself. The Bible, all the way through the Bible, talks about, if the Bible says if somebody's going to boast, let somebody else boast for you or on your behalf, but you shouldn't be boasting on your own behalf. So you say, this is how I build myself up. The Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift you up. Let me go on. Number seven, your social media relationships should not be a platform for your covetousness and your discontent about life. Number eight, I said you should post nothing for a few that you would not want everyone to see. Folks, I just, again, and I will repeat that later on in another point. You say things and you think they're private. I think you really need to understand it's not as private as what you think. There are some of you who have been given private information through your way of doing things on social media, and you showed it to other people and you've passed it on to other people. And so I just don't think it's wise to say something to a few that you would not be willing to say to everybody. Matter of fact, if you wouldn't show what's on there to your pastor, why would you be saying it? You say, well, pastor, I'm a little bit afraid of you. You ought not be afraid of me. I'd be afraid of God. So, would you let me see everything that you have on Facebook? Could I see it all? Could you bring it by and just let me take a look at it? And you say, ooh, no. Well, you probably shouldn't be saying it. How good could it be for us? Now, let me go on. And this is where we start the new material, all right? And this is number nine. Your so-called internet friends ought to be scriptural friends, just like any other friends should be scriptural friends. It's a pretty big deal how many friends you have. And if you really think those are all your friends, you've just spent way too much time entertained by Disney. Because you're living in make-believe land. But you say, those are my friends. Well, if they are, then they ought to meet scriptural guideline for friends. And most of you have heard me teach on friendship. But the Bible says, let's see, I got to find the verse here. James chapter 4. Give me a second. And if you want to turn, you can. I'm going to take you to a handful of scripture. The big thing is, if I give you a scripture and you go looking for it, and I'm 3 points into the rest of the sermon and you're still looking for that one scripture, you'd be better off just let me read it to you. James chapter 4, verse number 4, listen to this. It says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now folks, I wish I had 3 hours to go into a scriptural dissertation about the Bible teaches about friendship. Because we could do it. I could give you scripture after scripture after scripture. And many of you have heard me teach on it. But let me tell you something. Just because you can't see their face and you're typing on your computer keyboard or on your iPad or on your telephone, just because you can't see their face and you're not with them physically does not eliminate the scriptural qualifications of what a friend is. There's some people in here, you're friends with folks you ought not be friends with. You say, well, how do you know? Well, if it's not a scriptural friendship relationship, then it shouldn't be going on. Now, that may be too much for you, but that's the truth. See, we've taken our social, the internet relationships, and we've almost said, well, there are no scriptural guidelines. Oh, no, there's scriptural guidelines for everything. You're not going to put one past God. Okay, let's go on. Number 10, your social media relationships should not be full of foolish arguing. Proverbs chapter 18, and if you want to go there, Proverbs 18, verse number 6, I said it should not be full of foolish arguing. Proverbs 18, I might. And I'll read it to you. The Bible says this, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. Here the Bible says you're a fool when you're constantly entering into contention. Now, on Sunday, I read a verse in my Sunday school class that says that contention only cometh by pride. But let me explain. When you're communicating on the internet, whether in whatever mode you use, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, you know, Snapchat, and all that stuff, let me explain something to you. If you are arguing with people, you know, you're not supposed to be spending your time arguing with people anyway. But again, there's more of it that goes on that way than there probably does physically in life. And I'll tell you why. Because there's a distance and you don't feel responsible for your behavior. But you're still responsible for your behavior. So if you're fussing and fighting, that doesn't make for good relationships. That's not how relationships are supposed to work. So I said, first of all, for tonight, number 9, in addition to the 8 points of last week, your so-called internet friends are supposed to be scriptural friends. Number 10, your social media relationships should not be full of foolish arguing. Number 11, folks, understand that there are some conversations that should be held in person for the sake of propriety, dignity, and maturity in life. There are just some things that you're not supposed to take care of from a distance. You take care of them face to face. You say, well, why do you say that? Well, let me read a scripture to you. In the book of 2 John, let's see, 2 John, and I'm going to read to you verse number 2. And again, if you want to turn to it, you can. Let me give you the point again. I said, understand there are some conversations that should be held in person for the sake of propriety, dignity, and maturity. In 2 John, verse number 12, it says this, and this is a letter from John. He said, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy might be full. John said, there are some things that ought to be said in person. Now, everyone here that is a part of this internet generation, you need to learn to talk to people face to face. I'm going to say more about that later. But folks, you say, well, preacher, what kinds of things are you talking about? Okay, don't resign your church duty over the internet. Or don't text me to resign your church duty. Say, what do you want me to do? Come look at me. Oh, say, well, then I'm not going to resign. I know. That's what I'm saying. We live in a cowardly generation. There are certain decisions that when you need to talk about them, they ought to be talked about in person. Husbands and wives, you need to learn to be able to sit down at a table with each other and converse across that table. And not going into tirades and anger and hatred. Sit down like two mature, decent people and talk. Well, we can't talk in person. Well, get your heart right with God. What would you do had they not invented the internet? Do you understand the people that were staying married for 50 and 60 and 70 years couldn't text their way through their marital battles? Well, maybe that's why they lasted so long. Because they had to sit down eyeball to eyeball and talk to each other and face each other. And what John said, he said that our joy might be full. Folks, listen. You text me something, I text you something. Did you know you can't tell if I've got tears in my eyes? And I can't tell if you're saying, I'm sorry, but you're going, nah, 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 nah. Said that my joy might be full. What did it mean? It meant you could look into my face, I could look into your face, and I could say words, and you could see the sincerity in my eyes and read the sincerity in my voice and hear the pathos and the heart. And that's all a part of communication. So there's some serious matters that you go talk to the person in person. Some of you'll find if you try to get into a complicated question for the pastor in counseling, here's what you'll hear from me. You need to come see me. We need to talk in person about that. And that didn't mean you're in trouble. It just means that there are, and some of you that have a couple years on you, you ought to be saying amen right now. Everybody wants to try to do everything without being in person to get it done. I believe employers would do themselves a favor if they'd have a few more contact relationships with the people they're hiring. I don't mind everybody applying online, but that's not the total answer to the workforce. I wouldn't believe everything they say. You say, well, it's on the internet. Oh, yeah. Okay. So, and I've got to hurry because I promise you this was the last lesson, so I can't make this a three-part lesson. I said, your so-called internet friends need to be scriptural friends. I said that your social relationship and communication should not be full of foolish arguing. I said that there are certain conversations and exchanges that need to be face-to-face. I said, number 12, some of your social media relationships may just need to be brought to an end. They just need to be brought to an end. And I'm not going to belabor it because I don't have time, but I am going to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 33, it says, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." If you cannot, and listen, if you can't control yourself when you're having an internet relationship, you need to stop whatever it is, stop it. You're better off not doing it than doing wrong while you're doing it. You say, well, I just can't do without. And in a little while, I'm going to talk to you about your addiction. Because there's some people in here, you're failing in life because you're addicted to your internet time. But I'm not there yet. But if you can't control you, maybe you need to stop the relationship. But I'll tell you what else, maybe you can control you. But the person that you have the relationship can't control themselves. You might need to stop the relationship. You know, I can't stop what somebody's putting on my, you know, if we're exchanging things on Facebook, people put stuff out there that you ought not be associated with. Say, well, it wasn't me. Well, what are you doing listening to that kind of junk? Why are you living there? Let's go on. I have to hurry. Number 13, your social media relationships should make you more productive for God, not less. More productive for God, not less. That's only reasonable. I mean, if you're doing something that slows you down and doesn't help you succeed for Jesus, then maybe you shouldn't be doing it at all. But it ought to make you more productive. I'm going to read to you from Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to go to verse number 24, I think it is. Let me double check and make sure. The Bible says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." What Christians are supposed to be doing is encouraging people to do good works. And if you're not increasing your good, then maybe a relationship's not so good for you. So I said, number 13, your social media relationships should be causing you to be more productive for God. Number 14, these relationships should not be causing you constant emotional trauma. They shouldn't be causing you constant emotional trauma. I'm going to read one verse to you from 1 Samuel. Let's see, 1 Samuel 30. The Bible says this, and listen very carefully. It says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him." David was distressed because of what people were saying. Now listen, there's some of you, you are an emotional wreck because of all your internet relationships. You know, some of you, you would not even be upset about some things, but you're in other people's business all day long, every day. You know, can I tell y'all something? 100 years ago when you couldn't do this, somebody in a distant state could be having a marital problem and you wouldn't even know about it. By the way, it gave them enough privacy to work their way through it without the whole world knowing it. Do you have any idea how hard it is to fix things when people's big mouths won't shut up about things? If you're a guest, I'm not always that aggressive. It's usually worse. I'm trying to be good. We're laundering everybody's dirty laundry publicly. So you try to fix things, but everybody knows about everything. And we're hurting ourselves. We're hurting ourselves. So what I'm telling you is, if all your connections out there cause you constant emotional trauma, then get your spirit under control and shut some of those things off and get happy again. Get victorious again. I couldn't do what some of you do. Some of you go back to the hog trough every day to find out something negative about somebody else. I'm not going to live there. By the way, my church needs me to have a good spirit. My church needs me to be victorious. My church needs me to get up and tell everybody we can do this. We can serve God. We can have revival. We can be happy. We can conquer the devil. We don't need to be depressed all the time. And one of the reasons, at least to some degree, I have that attitude is I don't live like you do. I don't tap into the gossip column every chance I get. I think I could probably I could probably control myself. The problem is I don't think I could control the people that would want to communicate with me. And I'm not giving my spirit to them either. I work too long and too hard to guard my spirit so it could be healthy to let the craze of the day deteriorate it. Okay, we got to move on. Number 15, if you have been misusing your social media relationships or communication, it might be that you need to take some things down at least, clean it up. Just clean it up. I don't know how all that works, but I'm pretty sure you, if you put it up, you can take it down. You got pictures up there that shouldn't be up there, take them down. You got conversations up there that shouldn't be up there, take them down. I mean, it seemed like the least you could do is if you've got it there, that you eliminate it. Is that right? Anybody? Nobody's going to answer me about anything tonight. But I think if you put it up, you can take it down. And now look, if I get to living in a certain way and I get off track and I get convicted about it, I fix it. So if you need to, search through the thing and clean it up. Hey, there's some of you. You ought to make your communication with everybody look Christian. Yeah, but there's some people out there that don't know, you know, I'm a churchgoer. I know. Those are the ones you ought not be communicating with at all. Okay, let's go on. Number 16. There should never be any appropriate communication between unmarried people on social media or networking. There should never be any inappropriate communication between unmarried people. I'm going to read to you, and let's see. I have so many verses written down here, and I sometimes can't read my own writing. Malachi chapter, that's probably, hang on. I think that's Matthew, not Malachi. I have written out a lot of verses today. Matthew chapter 13, the Bible says in verse number 4. And that's not it. And so I'm not looking anymore. what I said was, you need to be careful that there's not inappropriate communication being going on between married people. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about a man that's in communication with a woman that he's not married to, or a woman in communication to a man that she's not married to. Oh, and I don't think there's anything wrong with appropriate communication. But some people think that, well, we were talking about things that we probably shouldn't have been talking about, but we're not going to do it. Well, that's exactly how the devil wanted you to think about it. Yeah, sure. That's the step and the justification right before you do it. Can I tell you something? I've been counseling for a long time. And you'll think this an exaggeration. I've counseled thousands of marriages. Thousands. I've never had anyone say to me, I met him, we committed adultery. Happened just like that. No, they communicate. They communicate before they take the plunge. And most of them didn't say, you know what? I think I'll just commit adultery. No, they communicate their way into it. So, no inappropriate communication between unmarried people. Then, I want to say sexual conversations between unmarried people are totally off limits according to the Bible. Two unmarried single people should not be talking about the sexual relationship. They shouldn't be talking about it verbally, but they think it's okay if we're talking about it through our internet communication. That's wrong too. You're not going to talk about it and then not end up doing it, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So you're just setting yourself up. And if you go to 1 John 2:16, it talks about the lust and the pride of life and what will happen to you. Now, there's one other thing I'm going to say, and then I'm going to make go a little bit different direction. I think that social media makes it easy for people to bully one another. I think it makes it easy to bully one another. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 32 says, oh, brother, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. The Bible says we're to be kind to one another. And let me tell you what happens. On the internet, you can be a bully. You can push people around and threaten them and threaten their reputation. And it's a little easier to do because you're not standing eyeball to eyeball with them. So you think that it's okay. Bullying someone in your cowardly way doesn't make it right. And from all indications, from what I understand, it happens all the time. I have people come to me and say, Pastor, I'm really hurt. So-and-so said thus and so about me. I think, what a bully. What a bully. So I think that you shouldn't be bullying people and pushing your weight around because you don't have to face them. Now, for about 7 or 8 minutes, maybe a couple more, I want to make just a few general guidelines. I want to make a couple comments about our internet relationships and our communication on the internet. Number one, do not let social media become your master. Don't let the internet become your master and your communication on the internet. The Bible in 1 Corinthians 6:12 talks about not coming under the power of any. You're to be under the power of God. Right. Folks, there are people here, and I really believe this. There are people here that if I said to you, no internet for anything for a week, there's some of you, you would be like a drug addict. You'd go through withdrawals. You'd say, well, who would I communicate with? How about a live human being that's got flesh on them and you talk to them? Listen, don't let it become your master. Are you addicted? I can tell you some of you are addicted. Here's what I do. When I wake up in the morning, anybody know what I do? You all know what I do. When I wake in the morning, I will not let myself look at my cell phone. I will not let myself look at my email until I prayed for all of you by name every day without fail And I have spent plenty of time, sometimes 3 and 4 hours in my Bible. Then I look at the text. Then I look at my email. I've chosen what I want to be addicted to. I'd rather be addicted to my prayer time and addicted to my Bible time than addicted to my telephone and addicted to the internet. Now, you tell me, how good is your prayer life? Do you go to prayer every day? Do you go to Facebook every day? You tell me which one you're addicted to. Which one means most to you? And then you want to know why you're failing in your Christian life. Okay, so I said, number one, don't let social media become your master. Number two, don't let social media waste all your time. There are people in here, and I don't know who you are. There are people in here, you need to clean your house. But you didn't have time. But we are bumping your usage up on your internet program pretty heavy. People in here, you need to figure out how to make a few more bucks to pay your bills. But you're too busy. You're too busy. Boy, people waste a lot of time on that sort of stuff. Number three, don't let your relationships on the internet become more important than real life relationships. There are people in here, you're closer to people on Facebook than you are your own husband. Or your own wife. Your own mom. Your own dad, teenagers. Your own children. You spend more time on your device communicating with people outside your house than you do the people that are inside your house. You know, that's not healthy. I sometimes can't tell if you're all in shock or you're up all night long with a sick baby, therefore you're really drowsy, or you're thinking, I'm going to kill this guy if I get him in. All right, let me move on. I said, don't let it become your master. I said, don't let it waste all your time. Don't let those relationships through the internet become predominant over your physical relationships. Number four, never post any words or any pictures without thinking through it and making sure you have God's approval. I know people post pictures and say words. I'd slow down. I'd think before you post. Matter of fact, it wouldn't hurt some of you to pray before you post. Matter of fact, it wouldn't hurt some of you to pray and research the Bible before you post. Well, I'd take too much time. Part of the problem is you don't want to say what you want to say and let the chips fall where they may, and you think you're really tough because of that. That's really stupid. Who in the world taught someone to speak then think? All right, I've got to move on. Number five, make sure if you like it, so does God. Amen. Make sure that if you like it, so does God. Shouldn't be liking what God doesn't like. Does that make sense? I've never liked anything. But I've studied enough to figure out people like stuff. So don't like what God doesn't like. Number six, although your account may be free to you, I think you need to realize that you are being made merchandise. You say it's free, I get to do this for free. They are and will make money off of you, and it's grown into one of the biggest businesses in the world. Zuckerberg may run for president. You say, how's he going to do that? I don't know. He got a lot of connections. Got a lot of friends. They're making merchandise. They didn't start out, they started selling all the advertisements, and you're irritated because that advertisement pops up and you got to watch it, and it's going to go off the screen in 4 seconds and 3 seconds and 2 seconds and 1 second. That's enough time for you to order it. What? What they were advertising. Okay, let me go on. So you know, your information and your chats are not as private as what you think. They're not as secure as what you think. People have access. You say, oh, phooey, it's plenty secure. Okay, you write about 5 paragraphs on ISIS and what you want to do with the bomb you're building at your house, and we'll see if you don't find someone that can come see you about how secure you are. Give her a whirl, squirrel. Let's see what happens. And here's the bad thing. You say, well, that's the government. The government are not the best hackers in the nation. You say, who are they? 13-year-olds. Zuckerberg's a kid. He doesn't work for the CIA. Best hackers I know are under the age of 40. Not the 60-year-old gray hairs that still have some Bible principle left to them. Okay, we got to move on. I've got 4 more quick points. Social media, social networking, social communication is not as social as what you think. It's not as social as what you think. Actually, it is developing isolationism in our nation. It is developing isolationism in our nation. I watched 2 teenage girls sat right over there. They both had phones one Sunday morning. And I went over. And it was before church. Everybody was talking, all sorts of noise. I said to one, I said, who are you talking to? She said, her. I said to the other, well, who are you talking to? She said, her. I thought, why don't you just talk to her? Oh, we never do that. There are husbands and wives in here. When's the last time you had a sit-down, serious talk without your telephone? You understand the people in this generation that are doing all their communication that way. They're not good communicators. They can't look you in the face when they talk to you. They don't know how to handle themselves, how to explain themselves. But Jim, put them through an interview down there at the restaurant. They're going to say, couldn't you shoot me these questions, sir, through text? Do I have to look at you? Could you talk to my hands? Don't talk to my face. Well, maybe God ought to just take your eyes and your ears. Maybe you don't need them anymore. But the truth of the matter is, they call it social media. It's not really that social. Folks, you all do realize I'm a human being. This is skin. You ought to be talking to me personally. And I ought to talk to you that way too. Now, I started this whole lesson out. I told you, I don't think it's bad. I think it can be used bad. And when you're better at it than you are the real life experiences, then it's not good. It's not healthy. Let me go on. Here's what I've noticed. I've noticed, and I'm not going to stay on this very long. I've noticed that our social networking exchanges, we've accepted bad spelling, bad grammar, bad speech, and we have butchered the English language into nothing. Now, when a nation's language begins to fall apart, they begin to babble. Yeah, the bad thing is there are young people that can say all sorts of things on their phone, and I can't even figure out what they're saying. You know, MGD, OBR, YYY, U2, U2. And I'm thinking, what did I just do? What did they say? They're telling what I'm agreeing to. To everybody here, I would think it would be wise that we keep the English language and grammar strong in our lives. Okay. Three more statements and we're going to prayer time here. I think social media has become a hotbed for gossip, lies, and slander. I think social media is a major contributor to identity theft. And everybody here, listen. I think online predators love social media. Parents, watch your kids. Watch your kids. When I read the scripture about a widow and her having too much time on her hands, getting involved in other people's business, tattling, talking too much, I thought, yeah, that's not a warning just to widows. That's a warning to this generation and the new mechanism of communication that we use. And I'm for the internet. I think it's a great tool. I learn a lot of good, positive things from it. But remember, if it's in the hands of a spirit-filled, godly, scripture-led Christian, it could be a good thing. If it's in the hands of someone that is carnal, lost, unscriptural in their thinking, it could be a bad thing. We're probably losing more Christians from good churches today because of social media than most anything else. It used to be because of the television. Now it's the telefriend. But it's a good thing if used properly. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I hope you have learned something tonight. I hope I've shed some practical light on this subject for all of us. Oh, let's guard ourselves. Let's guard ourselves spiritually. Anything we do, let's make sure God is glorified, God is lifted up, Jesus is pleased. Who here tonight would say, "Preacher, God has challenged me. I've learned something. I have been challenged. I have learned something this evening, and I'll work at practicing it." Would you raise your hand and let God see your hand? You can put that hand down. We're going to have an altar call. We won't take long. If you need this altar, you feel free to come. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Shouldn't be unscriptural. You ought to be filled with the Spirit. It ought to glorify God. You should build people up, not tear people down. Shouldn't be full of complaining. Shouldn't be bragging on yourself. It's not a platform for you to gripe about your discontentment or your covetousness. I wouldn't say to one what you don't want a whole bunch of people to hear. Your so-called friends ought to be scriptural friends, or they shouldn't be involved. Your relationship should not be full of foolish arguing. Your conversation sometimes should be held in person. Don't do the cowardly thing and hide. Make sure that if a relationship is wrong or bad, it's just brought to an end. Make sure your relationships are causing you to be more productive for God, not less. Watch that it's not causing you everyday emotional trauma. If you posted something that needs taken down, repent and take it down. No inappropriate communication between married people, unmarried people. There should not be any sexual communication going on over the internet. Don't bully. This is the last time through the song, and we're going to be done. That's good, Mrs. Young.